Today's Shir Masechta Yevamos Daf Samach Vav. We will begin on Daf Samach Vav, Amud Aleph, at the new Perek. Midaraisa, a kohen, whether he's a gadol or a katan, is allowed to eat truma. Of course, a zor, a Yisrael, may not eat truma. Furthermore, the halacha that a kohen may eat truma, it applies both to males and females, adults and children. And also, a Bas Yisrael, a daughter of Yisrael, who's married to a kohen, may eat truma. Midraisa, as soon as there is erusin, she may eat truma. But as we've learned earlier, the Gemara, Chazal, said that a woman, a Bas Yisrael, who's married to a kohen, may not eat truma until there's nesuin. We learned that the Gemara Masechet Ksubos gives us two reasons. One reason the Gemara suggests is because Shlo Techela La'achem La'choyos, a girl, as long as she's still in Arusa, is still in the home of her father. And since she's still in the home of her parents, we're concerned that if her husband, her Arus, is sending her truma, she may feed that truma to her siblings who are not entitled to eat it, they're Yisraelim, or Mishum Simpaim. Chazal were concerned that the couple will get married and then the husband will discover that his wife has a mum, which will turn the Kedushin into Mekach Tos, and therefore she had no right to eat Truma during that time. And because of those reasons, the halacha is that she doesn't eat Truma until there's Nisuin. Moreover, even if a Bas Yisrael married a Kayan, if they had children, and those children or their descendants, grandchildren, are alive, the woman may continue eating truma because of them. A bas kohen eats truma as long as she is in her parents' home, her father's home. Once she marries Yisrael, she's not allowed to eat truma. If that marriage ends, the marriage to Yisrael, and there were no children from the marriage, she may go back to eating truma. The avodim kananim of a kohen, the animals of a kohen, all eat truma. For as we've quoted the pasuk many times, the Torah Kedoshah says, the kohen ki yiknet nefesh kinya kasbay hu yoichaba. A woman brings into her marriage two types of assets. One are nechsei tzoyim barzel, and one are nechsei malug. Nechsei tzoyim barzel are assets that really become the husband's. They're written into the ksuba, and in the ksuba, those assets are written that when the marriage terminates, the value of those assets must be paid to the woman. The nechsei malug are assets that always remain, and that's why they're called nechsei tzoyim barzel. They are strong as barzel. They're strong as iron, because even if the price of those assets, the value of those assets goes down, the value, she never loses that value. There is also nechsei malug. Nechsei malug are different type of asset. Those are assets that remain the property of the wife. If there's a price fluctuation, it's on her. However, the peiros, whatever they produce, goes to the husband. So if she brings into the marriage property, trees or fields that produce fruit and vegetables or grain, the peiros go to the husband. The nechsei malug, the actual asset, belongs to her. If there are buildings and there's rent collected, that belongs to the husband, because the nechsei malug belongs to the husband. Begins our Mishnah, Amon al kohen gadol. If a kohen gadol married a woman who he wasn't supposed to marry, he married almana. Grush v'chalutz l'kohen hedjit, the kohen hedjit married a woman whom he wasn't supposed to marry. Chnisaloi, and into that marriage, she brought avdi malug. That the aloch, as we just learned with avdi malug, are that she keeps the actual asset, but the peiros, that means these slaves that she brings into the marriage, remain hers, but what they work is for the husband. Or she brought in avdei tzoyim barzel, that the asset belongs to her, she gets the value when the marriage terminates. Avdimalug, so the halacha is lo yachal b'truma. The avdimalug are not entitled to eat truma. Avdei tzayin bazel yachal. So of course the situation here is as follows: if this is what would have been a marriage that the Torah sanctioned, so not only would all the avodim she eats, and as we'll discuss in the Gemara, the avodim, whether the avdi maluga or avdi tzayin bazel would continue to eat. Here, however, what happened was that the marriage was not sanctioned, and as we've learned many times, that not only is the marriage not sanctioned, she becomes a halala by entering into such a marriage. So the avdi malug, which are considered hers, so she doesn't eat, nor do her avdi malug eat. Whereas the avdi tzayin bazel, which become his, because this is a marriage that certainly shouldn't have happened. This is a marriage that makes her into halala. This is a marriage that certainly doesn't entitle her to eat truma, even though her husband is a kayin. But still, the marriage is considered typhus. The marriage is considered effective because, as we've learned, it's a marriage that involves a chai v'lavin, and a marriage that involves a chai v'lavin, midaraisa, is considered a valid marriage. And therefore, we do recognize the marriage just for truma da halachas are, as we just said. Says the Mishnah, v'elehen avdi malug, what I consider avdi malug, im mesu, that if something were to happen to these avodim, Mesulo, the loss would be hers. In Masiru, if they went up in value, Hasira law, the added value is hers. Afpi, even though Shu Chaybim is an Isam, even though the husband has to support them, because as we just said, the Paris of the Avdi Malug are his. And therefore, since the parents of the Avdi Malug are his, that's why he's obligated to support them. Still, the actual asset belongs to her. And since the actual asset belongs to her, and she's not allowed to eat truma, that's why the halach is that harei elu lo yoich b'truma, the Avdi Malug may not eat the truma either. Continues the Mishnah, ve'elohen tzayin Avdi tzayin bazel, im meisu meisu loy, if they die, the loss is his. He took on the responsibility that if something will happen to them, he will have to reimburse his wife. In Misiru, if they go up in value, that profit is his, because as we said, in the Ksuba is written the value that they had at the time of the marriage. And since that's the value that's written in, if they should go up in value, that profit is his. So therefore, since he carries the ultimate ownership or responsibility of these avodim, however, who chay bechriyosom, the loch is harei elu yoichel b'truma, the entirety of truma. Continues the Mishnah Bas Yisrael, this is l'koyin of Bas Yisrael, married a koyin, hechnisaloi, and it's a legitimate marriage, it's a marriage that should have taken place, was allowed to take place, and here teaches us the Mishnah, hechnisaloi avodim, and she brought slaves into this marriage, and it makes no difference how these slaves are categorized, Bein Avdi Malug, Bein Avdi Tzayin Bazel, the halacha is Harei Elo Yoichel B'Truma, these are avodim under both circumstances, the truma. And the explanation, and we'll see it more, Mitzvah Shem, in the Gemara in a moment, is because the wife, even if we'll say that the wife is the owner of the avodim, certainly if we'll say the wife is the owner of the Avdi Malug, still, the halacha is that since she's the owner of those avodim, since she's eating truma, because we have a sanctioned marriage, so that's why the avodim eat truma. Bas koin, on the other hand, that we have a bas koin that was eating truma as long as she was in her father's home, and now, nisusli Yisrael, she married a Yisrael, hechnisalai avodim, and she brought avodim into this marriage, and now she's married to Yisrael. It makes no difference what category of avodim they are. Bein avdi malug, bein avdi tzayin bazel. Here the halacha will be harei elu lo yoichel b'truma, they may not eat truma. So the Mishnah began that if a mana married a kohen gadol, a grusha v'chalutza married a kohen hedyot, the avdi malug may not eat truma. But ask the Gemara, amai, why is that the halacha? La'avik kinyonah shekohen kohen kinyon. It should be no different as if an eved of a kohen bought something, or anything that's owned by the kohen, that not only does he eat truma, that whatever he bought by something also needs truma. The time. Tanya, as the Brisa says, Menayel Kanchanasi Isha, if a Kayin married a woman, Vakana Avadim Shaykhla Batruma, how do we know that the Avadim eat truma? Shneva Kayin Kiyikna Kinyan Kashbai, Ku Yaykhabai, that if a Kayin takes ownership of somebody, he takes ownership of an Eved, he marries a wife. In both cases, the Eved of the Kayin, the wife of the Kayin, are entitled to truma. How do we know if a woman bought avodim that those avodim will be allowed to eat truma, or avodim shekana avodim, or we'll have a situation that the avodim will buy avodim? And of course, all the rishonim ask the question: how is it possible for the avodim to buy avodim? Isn't there a rule that we all know that kol ma shekana eved kana rabbi? Whatever the old eved buys becomes the property of the owner. So how does the Mishnah, how does this Braisa speak about a case of avodim shekana avodim? If avodim shekana avodim, then they don't belong to the avodim, they belong to the owner. So many Rishonim suggest that it's referring to a situation that when the avodim bought those avodim, that he bought it al menash ein l'rabbi rishus. That if the avodim were bought, when these avodim were bought, with that clear stipulation that the owner of these avodim will be the avodim and not his owner, then that is the halacha. Actually, the Rishonim point out that this is a machlokes Rav and Shmuel, if an eved has a right to buy an eved under that circumstances. And only Shmuel holds that this would be legitimate. And we'll have to say that this Gemara is following the opinion of Shmuel. The halach is, so continues the Braisa, Avodav shekana avodim, avodim boy avodim, said they eat truma, she'ochle b'truma, shenem v'koyin ki'yikne nefesh kinyan kasboy, hu yochaboy. Because it would have been adequate for the Torah just to say, v'koyin ki'yikne nefesh hu yochaboy. And that would be enough to teach us that the wife of a Kohen, that the avodim of a Kohen, may eat truma. Why does the Torah add the words kinyan kasboy? So the explanation is that to teach us that not only what the Kohen himself acquires gets the right to eat truma, but even kinyanoi shekana kinyan, that if something that he owns buy something, they would have the right to eat truma. So if that's the case, why does the woman in our Mishnah who married the Kohen, even though, as we said, it's a marriage that should not have taken place, it was Amona l'Kohen Gadol, Grusha v'Chalutza l'Kohen Hedyot, if she's entitled to it, if the marriage is considered a valid marriage, her havadim should be allowed to eat? Answers the Gemara, as we learned when we learned the Mishnah. The halacha is, kol ha'oichel machel, a person who they themselves have the right to eat truma, have the ability to give what they own to eat truma as well. But kol she'en oichel, something that doesn't have the right to eat themselves, ain't a machel. And since this wife in our Mishnah doesn't have the right to eat, because it's a marriage that, as we keep on repeating, should not have taken place, that's why havadim don't eat either. Says the Gemara, v'loy, is that true that someone who can't eat can't be the one to cause someone else to eat? For a oral, somebody, a kohen who's an oral, a kohen tameim, or a kohen who's tamei, ain't an oichlim, the halacha is they're not allowed to eat truma, and yet, machilim, they are able to cause others to eat. The kohen oral, a kohen tameim, they don't eat, but their avodim will eat. Says the Gemara, Hassam, it's not the same. Because Pa'umai Kavlai, right now they're suffering something. Right now they can't eat. But eventually, the kohen whose tummy will become tar. The kohen who's an oral will have a mila. And from here we see, Rishonim discussed this at length, that even though we learned at the end of our previous perek, the Mesu Achav Machmas Mila, you don't have a bris, here we're talking, that doesn't mean that child doesn't have a bris ever. What it means is that he doesn't have a bris until he's stronger and strong enough to have the bris, but ultimately will have a bris. Another pshat, that, and therefore, it's just Pilmai Kavla. We right now have a technical difficulty that produces them from prevents them from eating. Ultimately, they will be able to eat. So that's why you can't compare the case of our Mishnah, where the wife, the Bas Yisrael, who was not supposed to marry the Kohen, the Amana, the Grusha Chalutza, who never will be able to eat Truma, to this Kohen who eventually will be able to eat Truma. But ask the Gemara, but what about Mamzer? What's going to be halacha in a case where Bas Yisrael married a Kohen and they had a daughter, and then their daughter, this is the case that Rashi explains, and then their daughter married a Mamzer, so that the son of that marriage will be a Mamzer. And the halacha is, if the Kohen died and his daughter died, the wife of the Kohen would still continue to eat Truma, even though she's a Bas Yisrael. For as we learned in our introductory remarks to our shir, as long as there are descendants from the marriage of the Yisrael, of the Bas Yisrael to the Kohen, she's entitled to continue eating Truma. Now, this individual is a Mamzer. And the Mamzer certainly can never eat Truma, and Eichel, and yet Machel. But you just said, asked the Gemara, that anybody who doesn't have the ability to give to eat, doesn't have the right, by the way, who doesn't eat himself doesn't have the right to give somebody else to eat. Ravina, says Ravina, this that we just learned, oichel macho, shena oichel ena macho, that's only when we speak about kinyan. Somebody who's eating because because he's the property of somebody, that's where there's a rule, oichel macho, shena oichel ena macho. A wife who has a right to eat, to continue eating truma, because she was married to a Kohen, is that right does not emanate from the fact that she's the property of somebody. That emanates from the fact that she is the actual wife of a Kohen, and therefore it's not a good comparison. Bravama midraisa machle echle. Indeed, the avdi malug of a wife of a Kohen, even though it's a marriage that should not have taken place, but if it's a marriage that is effective, the property of such a wife should be allowed to eat truma. It's Rabbanu who the Gazru, but it was just a Gzeid Rabbanu. Kadesh HaTomer, that she should realize, Ani Eina Nechelis, I don't have the right to eat truma. Avdi Eina Neichlim, my Avadim don't have the right to eat truma. Obviously, Zaynihi Etzloi, it's going to be a constant reminder that they are, that this is a marriage that shouldn't be taking place. And that's exactly what we're trying to accomplish. Hoka Asula Fuka. We want to break this marriage. And since we want to break this marriage, this is a good way of accomplishing that. Ravashi Amar. Ravashi gives a different reason why they shouldn't, they have the malug of a Kohen, of the wife of a Kohen that should not have married her, should not eat Truma. Zeir Hashem Ta'ach Lachamisa. After this marriage is over, certainly, they're not going to be allowed to eat. She's not at that point. She's not at that point even married to him. And since at that point she's not married to him, she was never supposed to be married to her. The avdi malug, which belonged to her, will not be allowed to eat. In order that they should not become accustomed and therefore continue to eat even after the marriage is over, Chazal said they should never be allowed to eat. So of course, the Rishonim ask, so why is that halacha not applied to Avdi Tzoyim Barzel as well? And all the Rishonim explain, the difference is obvious. By the Avnei Tzoyim Barzel, they're really his. The Avdi Tzoyim Barzel become his. And therefore, since they really become his, that's why they're considered his property. He's a Kohen, and his property eats Truma. The Avdi Malug belong to the property that belonged to him. They belong to his wife, and therefore they're very different. But ask the Gemara, if we have now introduced a new consideration, that we have to be concerned what's going to happen after the Kohen dies, El Me'ato, if that's the consideration that we have, asked the Gemara, that every Bas Yisrael should nesus the Kohen, should not be allowed to tachel, because maybe she's going to continue doing so, lachamisa. Why, if we're worried about this, and at that point, she doesn't have the right, because she's no longer to the property of the Kohen. El Amar Vashi, Bamona Kohenis, the Chshash is when you have a Amona, who's the daughter of a Kohen. The Amona, who's the daughter of a Kohen, that wasn't obviously supposed to marry Kohen Gadol. Or if we have a Grusha, a Chalutza, who are the daughters of a Kohen. Again, these are women who are not supposed to marry a Kohen. Because we are concerned that if they're going to be allowed to eat Truma when she's married to this Kohen, because she is considered the property of a Kohen. And since she's considered the property of the Kohen, any property that belongs to her continues to eat Truma. We're going to be concerned that after her husband dies, Asalei Uruye, she's going to teach herself that they continue eating Truma. Mikara, they'll say, for she will say to herself, Mikara Achle Truma de Beinasha. They originally ate Truma when she was in her parents' home. And now, and now she married a Kohen, Achle Betruma de Gavroi. She eats Truma because of her husband. Vahashta, and now that her husband divorced her, or her husband is no longer alive, she'll say to herself, Hadrele Lemilsa Kamaisa. I revert back to my original status, and they'll continue eating Truma because of my father. V'layodin, she won't recognize the Mikarolash Sivil Nafshe Chalala. She originally, until she was an Amana who married Kohen Gadol, or she was a Grusha Chalutza that married Kohen Hedget, she wasn't a Chalala. And therefore, because she wasn't a Chalala, she could eat the Truma, and her Avadim could eat Truma. But now that she had this marriage that made her into Chalala, Shavisil Nafshe Chalala, she became a Chalala. And therefore, she can't, even though she's going back to her parents' home, there were no children, there were no descendants, and she's going back to her parents' home, and her father's a Kohen, but she lost the right to Truma. The reason she lost the right to Truma, because she became a Chalala, and her Vadim won't be either allowed to Truma. Ask the Gemara, so this concern, asks the Gemara, is understandable in the cases that we just described. By Monica Hannes, where this girl, where this woman is the daughter of a Kohen who is an Amona. And then the concern, what will happen when her marriage ends, what will be? But what about, ask the Gemara, by Amona Bas Yisrael? What will be the halacha if a Bas Yisrael married, Amona who's a Bas Yisrael married Kohen Gadol? There's no concern, well, when the marriage ends and she goes back to her parents' home, she may think she's allowed to eat Truma. She may think her Avodim allowed to eat Truma, but actually they may not because she became a Chalala. She's going back to the home of Yisrael. So why would the halacha be that while she's married, they shouldn't be able to eat Truma, that the Avodim Loga not allowed to eat Truma? Ma'ikel Amemu, what's the reason? Says the Gemara about Mosul Lepalag Rabbanan. Chazal did not want to differentiate between different types of Almana, between Almana who's a Bas Kohen versus an Almana who's a Bas Yisrael. So as we said, the halacha, there are two types of assets that are brought into marriage. We explained there's Nichsei Melug and Nichsei Tzoyim Barzel. And we explained that the Nichsei Tzoyim Barzel really are considered the property of the husband. Just, they're written into the ksuba, and the way they're written into the ksuba is that at the time that the marriage ends, when the husband divorces her, she gets that value. Ask the Gemara. We now have such a situation. Nichsei Tzoyim Barzel were brought into the marriage. They're getting divorced. She's entitled to the value, as we keep on saying, of those Nichsei Tzoyim Barzel. But there's an argument here between the husband and the wife. Each one of them want to keep the actual asset and pay if there's a difference to the other one, the difference. Itmar, Hechnesnes Shum Labal, she brought these Nichsei Tzoyim Barzel into the marriage. Here, Meris, Kliani Neitla, I want to take back the actual asset. Vuhaimer, if I owe you any money, I'll pay you. Vuhaimer, and the husband says, I promise to give you the value of the Nutzei Tzai Brazel when the marriage is divorced. There's a divorce and marriage ends. I'm ready to give it. But I don't want to give you the actual asset. Ask the Gemara Hadinami, who wins this din Torah? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hadinami Ma, she gets the asset. Rabbi Asi Omer Hadinami Ma, he keeps the asset. And the Gemara explains their basis of their machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hadinami Ma, that she keeps the asset. This was an asset that she brought into the marriage from her family. So this is an asset that has value, sentimental value to her, because it's something that belonged to her family, and therefore we give it to her. Rav Ami Adeni Ma, that he keeps the asset, explains Rav Ami, Kivin Da Mamar, Emesu Mesuloi, Mesiris Siruloi, as we've been explaining, the aloch of Nechzei Tzayim Barzel is that they're really considered his, the value, if it goes up or down, is on him. Hoyev Chai Bechayuson, so since he has that responsibility, Yoichlu, that's why they eat Truma, and therefore they belong to him. Amr of Safra, so Rav Safra says to Rav Ami, Mitani Hen Shaloi, nowhere in the Mishnah does it say Hen Shaloi. What it said in the Mishnah is that that he has this responsibility that we've been discussing, but that does never was it said that it becomes him. But it never became actually his. So why are you saying that the Mishnah is an indication? Why are you, Rav Ami, saying that our Mishnah seems to indicate they belong to him? Answers the Gemara. And if you want to say, if you say the fact that he carries that responsibility, that makes it be considered as if it's his. And since it makes it his, achli b'truma, and the way the Brisk Rav explains what the Mishnah, what the Gemara means to say is that there are a number of ways of identifying who is the owner of an asset. And the Gemara is suggesting now that Chaye Bechriyuson, if you're responsible for an asset, that is an indication that you are the owner of the asset. Says the Gemara, if that's not true. Because Vatnan, the Mishnah Masachta Trumas, Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Test teaches us. Yisrael Shesachah Par Mekoyim. A Yisrael rented a cow from a Koyim. And of course he has to feed that cow. Is the halacha? The Yisrael may feed that cow kashinei truma. He may feed that cow the kashinim of truma. And as Tosfos points out, kashinim are food that are primarily used for feeding animals. Because Tosfos points out, if you have a food that's truma, that could be eaten by human beings, then that food cannot be given to animals. Here we're talking about a food that's truma, but it's not a food that people eat. And that's why Taisha says, now that this animal is a Kenyan kasboy of the Kayin, the halacha is the Kayin, the Yisrael, could feed that the animal, the Kashina truma. On the other hand, Kayin Shesachah Par Yisrael, a Kayin rented a cow from Yisrael, Abishim is a nurse of Olav, even though the Kohen is responsible to feed that animal, the halacha is lo yikashina truma, because the animal belongs to the Yisrael, and the Yisrael, obviously, and his animal, may not eat truma. So we see the fact that the Yisrael, the fact that the Kohen has responsibility for this animal, doesn't mean that he's considered the property of the animal. The Tisbra asked the Gemara, compare the two cases of Nechzei Tzayim Barzel to the case of renting an animal. Nay, Nami, the Chayiv Beganeva Avoida. Yes, if somebody rents an animal, and if something, so the halacha is that a soicher, somebody who rents something, is responsible for Geneva Avoida. But so, if there was an accident that happened to an animal, Bekechasha, if the animal gets weaker because it gets sick, gets weak. But nichsav demeo, if it goes down in value, mi mechayiv, would the renter be chayiv? Of course not. But when we speak about the nichsay tzayim bazel, there the level of responsibility is much greater. And since the level of responsibility is much greater, suggests the Gemara, that yes, By the case of renting, it's not considered yours, the Kohen, even though you're responsible. But when we speak about Abnissi Tzoyim Basel, it is considered the property of the Kohen. Holei Damya, and the Gemara says, what should we compare the case of Nichsei Tzoyim Basel to? We should compare it to the, what's discussed in the Seif of that Mishnah. What's discussed in the Seif of that Mishnah is a case of Yisrael Shasom Parav Kohen. Yisrael rented an animal for Kohen, and they evaluated how much it's worth, and they made up that that is what the animal has to be worth when I returned it to you. And the halach is that if the Yisrael took a Kohen's animal under those circumstances, under those conditions, even though the animal actually belongs to the Kohen, lo yechilene kashini truma. Because since the Yisrael took on such a serious level of responsibility, it's considered the Yisrael's animal. And on the other hand, if a Kohen rented an animal from a Yisrael with those conditions, av a Kohen shesam parmi Yisrael, that he rented an animal from a Yisrael with those conditions, the halach is yechilene kashini truma. Because since he took on such a greater level of responsibility, the fact that he took on such a greater level of responsibility, it does make it his. So the Gemara is saying, if anything, we now have a raya to Rav Ami's approach, that the fact that I took, that the Kohen takes on a high level of responsibility, it's considered his. And if that's the approach we're going to take, we should take the same approach in our Mishnah. And in our Mishnah we'll say that since since the owner of the Nichsei Tzoyim Basel takes on such a serious level of responsibility, the halacha is that they're considered his. And therefore, if this couple gets divorced, of course he'll have to pay his wife the value of those Nichsei Tzoyim Basel, but he has the right to keep the assets. Says the Gemara. So we still have this machloikus. We have the machloikus of Yehuda and Rav Ami. What is the halacha when Nichsei Tzoyim Basel were brought into a marriage and now the marriage is ending and they both want the actual asset? Who will win that in Torah? Says the Gemara, Yosef Rava Rav Yosef B'shili Pirkei Rav Nachman. They were sitting as Rav Nachman finished giving his shir, V'yasev Kamri, and they both said that there's Tanya Kavasi Rav Yehuda, there's a brisa that supports the opinion of Rav Yehuda, and Tanya Kavasi Rav Ami, and there's a brisa that supports the opinion of Rav Ami. And the Gemara explains itself. The Torah says, V'kiyaka ishes ein avdeis ein amosoi. If somebody wounds, injures, an ever kanani or amu kananis, v'shichaso to the degree that he destroys it, l'chavshi yishalchana tachas einay. V'shein avdeis ein amosoi yapol, l'chavshi yishalchana tachas shinay. We see that if an owner does this to a servant, the servant goes out free. And the question now that we're going to discuss is who is considered the owner that if he did this, this would be the halacha. So says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasi Rav Ami, Avdei Tzoyim Basel, Yoytzim Shem V'ayin, Li'ish. If the husband was the one that did it, that's when they got free, Avaloi Li'isha. Clearly an indication that who is considered the owner? The husband. But says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasi Rav Yehuda. There's a brisa that supports Rav Yehuda's opinion. The brisa says, Amachnes Hashem Labala. If a wife brings in Nichsei Tzoyim Basel into a marriage, Emroitza Baal Limkar Lo Yimkar. If the husband wants to sell off those Nichsei Tzoyim Basel, he has no right to do so. That even if he put up a collateral against those Nichsei Tzoyim Basel, Emroitza Baal Limkar, the halacha is if the husband wants to sell, and he says, I have already designated a different piece of property instead of this piece of property, lo yimkor. He still has no right to sell the Nichsei Tzoyim Basel. Machru Shneim, if the husband or the wife, sold it without the other's consent, leparnosa, in order that they needed to live, they needed this income to live, says the Brayse, Ma'aseh Lefnei Reb Shimon Gamliel, And this was a story that was asked for Amr. Says the Bryce, they paskined that whether the husband sold it or whether the wife sold it, haba mitz miyad lekuchas. So we see here that the husband has no right to sell these assets, but the wife, the husband, because he's not considered the owner of these assets. So we have a Bryce that supports both positions. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Aloch Rabbi Yehuda. The Aloch is Rabbi Yehuda, that the wife, when the marriage ends, the wife gets back the Nechse Tzoyim Ba'azal, if she wants so. Amalei, Rava Rav Nachman, V'tanya Kavasi Rav Rami. Haven't we just learned the Bryce before that supports Rav Ami's position? And as I saw the Aruch in there explains. Yes, there is a Bryce that supports Rav Yehuda's position. But since there's a Braisa that supports Rav Ami's position as well, we can't just ignore that Braisa. Says the Gemara, Afagav, the Tanya Kavasa Rav Ami. Yes, I do recognize there's a Braisa that supports Rav Ami's position. However, Mistabra Tamid Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda's reasoning makes more sense because as we said earlier, Mishun Shvach Be'Saviyah, we're ready to give this Tzoyim Barzel back to the wife because this is something that comes from her family and therefore she has much more of a connection to it. Says the Gemara, he had to say the Isla Lagavra, there was a woman, as she got married, brought into the marriage, it's the milsa, a garment made out of very fine wool. And she put that into the ksuba as Nechse Tzoyim Barzel. Shachav, and the husband dies, Shaklu Yasmi, the Yisoyman went and took that talus, or Parseya Misna, and he used it to cover the mace. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Kama Misna. It becomes as something designated for the mess, and because it belonged at that, it becomes the tachrichim of the mace, and the wife has no right to say, well, you had no right to use my clothing for tachrichim. All she has a claim is for their value. Amalei, nani bereid, Rav Yosef bereid, the Rav of Kahana. The fact that you said that the husband could use, that the family could use this cloak, this garment to cover the husband, is a raya that it belongs to the husband. Because if it didn't belong to the husband, you could never take something that doesn't belong to you and make it usur because you're designated for tachrich emes. But ask the Gemara, but you just paskind, v'amarav v'amarav nachna lach Rabbi Yehuda, that they remain the asset of the wife. And if the nitzit tzoyim ba'azal remain the asset of the wife, how could the yarshim of the husband taken it and used it to make to become tachrichim? Says the Gemara, omalei, milay maider Rabbi Yehuda de b'chusu gavayna. Even Rabbi Yehuda that says that the woman who claims that she wants the nechse tzoyim ba'azal has a right to that claim, that's, she makes the claim and she'll get it. But until she makes that claim and Besdin awards it to her, kiven the mechusa gavayna, since it wasn't yet given to her, reshus ha'kayim, it's still considered in the reshus of the husband and in the reshus of his yarshim after he dies. And therefore they could go and turn it into tachrichim. And says the Gemara, Rav l'tamei, Rav who follows this opinion, that even though I have a lien on something, sometimes that lien isn't strong enough. L'tamei, d'amar Rav, we learned earlier in our Masech, the halach is hegdish, chametz, v'shichur, mafkim edei shibud. If somebody put up his chametz for collateral, and then he, and Pesach came, so and it was in the it was under the responsibility of the Jew, or if somebody had something that he put up for collateral, and he was magdish, that object, that. Or somebody had an Eved that he put up for collateral and then he freed that Eved, even though there was a lien, a mortgage on those assets, that lien is dissolved. Here too, yes, that this Nechse Tzoyim Barzel, ultimately she should get them back. But till she gets them back, they are in the husband's and his Yarshim after he passes away control. And since they're in the husband and his yarshim's control, if he's magdish, if they go and they make it as takrichim, they become takrichim and they become osu b'hanah. Amar Rav Yehuda, chnisaloi shnei kelim. If A woman brought into the marriage Nichsei Tzoyim Barzel, and they were worth Elev Zuz. At that point, the two Kalim together were worth $1,000. The Shivchav Amdor Shnei Alofim. And now, these two are worth $1,000 apiece. Echad Netlosa Ksuvasa. In this case, she could take one, because that's what she's entitled to. Because as we said, when the marriage ends, she gets the value that this asset had at the time of the marriage. This asset had a value, these assets had a value of $1,000. This Nichsei Tzoyim Barzel had a value of $1,000 at the time of the marriage. So she's entitled to get $1,000. Vechad, the other one, she has to pay the husband or the husband's estate. And therefore, the halacha will be, Nesen Estomim V'Netelos. If she wants to keep the asset, she has to pay for it. That she could keep the asset, b'nei shvach be'savia, says the Gemara. My kamashmon. So what is Rabbi Yehuda teaching us in this halacha? That shvach be'savia, that the shvach, that the nechsei tzoyim barzel, they don't have her. Go to her, she has the ultimate claim in them. But ask the Gemara, ha'am Rabbi Yehuda chadazimna. Rabbi Yehuda already taught us that in our shia. What's the need for us to learn this another time? Answers the Gemara, what is she entitled to the asset? When she's going to get the asset or its value. So since she's going to get the asset or value, Rabbi Yehuda says she has the preference, she has the right to decide that she wants the asset, not the value. But in this case, it's not just she's getting the asset. Since the asset went up in value, if she's going to take the asset, she's going to have to give the husband or his estate money. Maybe in that case, Rabbi Yehuda didn't say that she's entitled to the asset. Avo, mitten dummy, or mishko, to that degree, Rabbi Yehuda did not say she's entitled to the asset. Kamashmon, that even in such a circumstance where she's going to end up paying for the asset, Rabbi Yehuda still says, the halacha is that the asset is hers. And since the asset is hers, she keeps the asset. And yes, of course, she will have to pay the husband or his estate whatever she owes them because the value of the assets went up.